The colonists again sent delegates to the Second Continental Congress. For almost a year, the Congress had tried to work out its differences with England, again without formally declaring war. The people didn't want war, but they also wanted to be free. By June 1776, their efforts had become hopeless, and a committee was formed to compose a formal declaration of independence. Headed by Thomas Jefferson, the committee included John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Robert R. Livingston, and Roger Sherman. Thomas Jefferson was chosen to write the first draft, which was presented to the Congress on June the 28th. After various changes, a vote was taken late in the afternoon of July the 4th. Of the 13 colonies, 9 voted in favor of the declaration. 2, Philadelphia and South Carolina, voted no. Delaware, undecided, and New York abstained. To make it official, John Hancock, president of the Continental Congress, signed the Declaration of Independence. It is said that John Hancock signed his name with a great flourish, very large. So King George can read that without his spectacles. To make it official, the following day, copies of the Declaration were distributed. The first newspaper to print the Declaration was the Philadelphia Evening Post on July the 6th, 1776. On July the 8th, the Declaration had its first public reading in Philadelphia's Independence Square. Twice that day, the Declaration of Independence Hall, the bell in Independence Hall was rung. The Providence Bell would later be renamed the Liberty Bell after its inscription, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." And although the signing of the Declaration was not completed until August of that year, the 4th of July has been accepted as the official anniversary of the United States independence. The first Independence Day celebration took place the following year, July the 4th, 1777. By the early 1800s, traditions of parades and picnics and fireworks. Do we have fireworks?
We had
fireworks. Praise the Lord. And although the fireworks had been banned in many places because of their danger, most towns, some city, and some churches have fireworks for everybody to enjoy. I enjoyed myself yesterday, amen. But I, in all seriousness, I would not want to live any other place on earth. This is where I choose to live. We do have a specific, wonderful liberty in this country, amen. Praise the Lord. It's been talked about throughout our history for a very long time, but July the 4th, 1776, it was publicly declared a move that would be irreversible. Benjamin Franklin said it well. He said, "If we don't hang together, we will most assuredly hang separately." You see, this declaration was considered treason by the King of England. So, and it brought the War of Independence. Freedom defined, the ability to be or to do what one wants instead of being controlled by another. Amen. Freedom. This weekend, all over America, bands have already played, parades have already taken place, cookouts and family gatherings and fireworks have happened all over these United States of America. It is in an effort to celebrate so that, and we should celebrate, freedom is not free. Amen. There was a price that was paid for freedom. You see, power is not relinquished easily. The king didn't want to give up the subjects in the North American continent. Dennis O'Brien, he was a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. He stated it so well. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who gives us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn a flag. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. Today, we are in the weekend of this 250th anniversary of the United States of America. So I would like to give a salute to those that have served in the armed forces of the United States. I know we have a couple. Stan, would you? If you have served in the armed forces of the United States of America, would you give them a hand? Thank you for your service, both to the country and to the Lord. Amen. Amen. These men that stood are serving both. Amen. Have served and are serving right now. Amen. It's not a small thing. Amen. My message today is the law of liberty. The law of liberty. Like this country was in 1776, Israel, in my opening scripture, was at a place of transition. They had been in a political bondage and slavery for some 400 years. Put that in perspective of 250 that the United States has been around. Israel was in bondage longer than what this country has existed. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. It was God's declaration of independence. Amen. And God saw it through. God set them free. What I am preaching today is that God cares about liberty. We should not take our liberty for granted. He cares about people who are bound and in need of freedom. There are people in these United States that are still in need of freedom. Political freedom is a precursor to spiritual freedom. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's not God's purpose for us to be in bondage. He wants to set us free. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 32 to 36. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall make, or ye shall be made free? Some people don't even know they're in bondage. Some people don't know they need to be set free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. God wants to make us free.
Right. Yes.
Amen. There is a deeper level of liberty than political freedom. God wants us to be free. Amen. Spiritual liberty means you're free from sin so that you can choose. Someone say choose. It's your choice. You get to choose to serve the Lord. Amen. But understand, liberty is not a license to do anything you want anytime you want. There's still laws, even in our country. Peter said not to use liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. By the power of the blood today, by the name of Jesus Christ, you can serve God if you want to. Amen. But you can't serve Him just any old way. Even America has laws of liberty. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it says this, be ye a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. The Word of God tells us if we will serve the Lord like the Bible says, we will be blessed.
Yes,
amen. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes or a few people. No, I'm telling you, every single person that chooses, someone say choose. You got to choose to serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There's some things I should not do because it's bad for me, because it would displease God. Amen. Before we came to God, we were bound and servants to sin. People are addicted. People have habits. People got problems. People are consumed in other things. People are led astray. People are following the wrong path. You name it. All kinds of things can go wrong in this life. I've got a story about a soldier. The soldier was in... It was 1950, the Korean War was going on. This soldier's name was Johnny Johnson. He was an army private and 18 years old. His division was called into the Korean War. Over one half of his outfit was killed. The others, like himself, were captured prisoners of war. While being held, American planes accidentally bombed his building. He began to worry that these fine men would be forgotten. Perhaps loved ones would never know how they died. So he started keeping a list. He found a pencil, a little nub of a pencil, wrote on any scrap of paper he could get, including cigarette packs and strips of wallpaper and trash, whatever he could find to write on. He wrote the name and the unit and the date that they died. After 3 months of sickness and malnutrition, over 70 in his group had died. The North Korean Army major marched 758 POWs over the snowy mountains, 120 miles. They took away their dog tags, tried to erase their identity. Johnson kept writing. If a soldier stopped or stumbled, they were shot and left to die. Focusing on his list to ignore his pain, he wrote 100 more names. That winter, camped along the icy river, 300 more names were added to his list. He made two lists. One he hid in the mud wall, and the other he hid in the ground. Guards found the one in the wall. They tortured him for maintaining criminal propaganda, beat him severely for keeping that list. But the list in the ground was never found. And at the end of the war, Johnson dug it up and hid it in a toothpaste tube until he was safely on a ship home. Did he even take it out? An officer asked, "What do you have there?" "It's my list, sir. 496 names he risked his life to complete." Today at VFW reunions, he is swamped with tears of appreciation. Johnny's list is the most interesting and a heroic one that I can remember. He risked his life to tell their families what happened to them. But that list is nothing compared to God's divine directory. God has a list. He's writing names on a list. It's called the Book of Life. To get on Johnny's list, you had to die. To get on this list, someone had to die for you. Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And they saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life."
Yes.
"And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according unto their works." I'm telling you, God keeps a record.
Yes.
He's got a list.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names were written in heaven." I want my name on his list. The writer of Hebrews spoke of this great church. Hebrews 12, 23, "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect."
Yes.
Amen. Jesus endured a great contradiction.
Yes. Yes, he did.
He was sinless.
Yes.
Did not sin.
Sure.
At all. Yet he endured the cross. He endured the shame. He laid down his life willingly for us. He died that we
might live.
Yes,
I'm thankful for the land in which we live in. We do live in a land that has a free society in which men and women choose to serve. Every person in our military today is there by choice. They are all volunteers. It's an all-volunteer force and the greatest military force in on the face of the earth. I'm thankful for the United States, but I am more thankful for a Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that Jesus gave us a choice. We can choose not to serve sin. We can choose to serve the Lord. You can choose to serve the Lord. You have spiritual liberty to be able to have a choice today. I choose to serve the Lord.
That's right, I choose.
Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. When I was young, I didn't have a choice. I was brought to church. Mom said, come on, we're going to church. I would get up and go to church. But there came a time where I realized, where I knew beyond any shadow of any doubt that God was real.
Yes. Right.
And now, as a man, you got to make a choice. I've got to choose whether if I will serve the Lord or not. It's my choice. Just as political freedom comes at a high cost, so does spiritual freedom. Calvary was a high cost to pay for our spiritual freedom.
Yes.
Jesus gave his life that we could be free from sin, that he might take the punishment of sin, death, upon himself.
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't miss the majesty of what has been prepared for you. Jesus prepared. Yes, we live in a great country, but we serve a great God. Don't take it for granted. Realize that this is a special liberty that we have. We have liberty in our country and liberty in our God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we go like this. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming. Jesus, say it to your neighbor. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is. This is not a fairy tale. I'm telling you, this is the word of God. This is what the Bible says. It will come to pass. Jesus is coming. Stand with me. Musicians, come. Just as we have celebrated the liberty of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, I today am celebrating the liberty that we have in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can be set free. You can. I'm telling you, it's not anyone else's decision. It is your decision alone. Don't tell me somebody else is making me. No, you can choose to serve the Lord. It's your choice. No one else can make you or take you or break you. Jesus will preserve you, help you, and save you.
Yes.
It's your choice. You have this spiritual liberty today to choose to serve the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm ending with this and we'll sing. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What does that say to you? I've heard people say, oh, the angels are rejoicing. No, what that says to me is God is rejoicing with the angels around him. God is celebrating when just one sinner repents. When one person chooses to serve the Lord, God is celebrating in heaven. And we do too. When one person chooses to serve the Lord, we celebrate. Give God the glory. Give God the thanks. Why don't we do that together right now? Would you lift your hands with me? Let's magnify the Lord and worship God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.